Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's Sean Ross Sapp. It is August 12th, 2024. We're here to talk WWE Monday Night Raw, as well as just one of the wildest contract years ever. Every year since Denise and I have done this show, the year gets crazier and crazier and crazier. And this is, I had posted a Fightful Select update on Christmas last year. And I said, guys, the 2024 contract year is going to be even crazier. And it is. A lot of those five-year deals that were signed when AEW started are up, both on WWE and AEW side. We're going to talk about some of that. We're going to talk about it with Denise Salcedo. You can check her out over on Instinct Culture doing her own Raw watch-alongs until the end of the year. Denise, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I got to tell you, those Raw watch-alongs are pretty fun. I was getting more people. I did them sporadically for a couple of weeks, and then people were like, bring them back. And I thought, oh, people actually enjoyed this? Okay, cool. I'll bring them back. And so I brought them back for the rest of the year, and we'll see what happens as things go by, because I don't know how this is going to work once they Raw goes on Netflix. So that's why I said, like, okay, just the remainder of the year, because I don't know what the plan is. Or what
sure.
The technicalities are once you go to Netflix and all of that type of stuff. So, yeah. But anyways, Sean, you almost lost me as a co-host.
Did I?
Yeah, there was a giant earthquake today.
Oh, my God. I saw that.
I wiped out, Sean.
I know. I saw that. I was watching like ESPN or something, and it was a little
frantic. And you
didn't
check up on me. I didn't get one text from you saying, hey, Denise, are you okay? Are you alive?
That's not true at all. That's not true at all. I responded to your earthquake tweet.
No, you did not. You did not say, hey, Denise, are you still alive? Are you okay? Is your house still together?
Listen, Denise, I would be much more concerned if you were tweeting while dead. So, I mean, that means there's like a zombie earthquake apocalypse.
I was tweeting while the earthquake was going on, Sean. Yeah. It was so funny.
Ma'am,
I was crouched down.
I am already... I'm an earthquake survivor. I was there in Philly when the earthquake happened. I am a survivor. There was an earthquake around the time I was born out here as well. One of our rare earthquakes, but you know.
Really? Yeah. It was when you were born?
Not that far off from it. I think either a week before or a week after. But hey, my birthday is this month, and if you guys want to give me a wonderful gift.
Oh, shit. When's your birthday, Sean?
August 30th. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business, or $54 a year in the business. Now, a reminder, in November, I think, there's going to be some weird iOS charges if you use that Apple app. Just sign up with a web browser to avoid that. But go to FightfulSelect.com. We're going to have we've got a Fightful Select exclusive Discord for All In. I will be in that live chat breaking some news as the show goes on. There's going to be some scoops, some spoilers in there. We had a bunch of news over the last week. Over the last week alone on FightfulSelect.com. If you saw this anywhere else, well, they got it from us. Randy Orton signed a new long-term deal with WWE. We confirmed Becky Lynch has not retired. This came from as close to the source as possible. We had an update on Daniel Garcia and his contract status, an AEW signing, Dynamite Kid, Tom Billington. We also had an update on Penta and Phoenix. And quite frankly, Penta telling people that he had contact with WWE already, that's very, very interesting. We had revealed that AEW, well, re-revealed, because we actually revealed it quite a while back and nobody picked up on it, but that AEW looks poised to run the Globe Life Field Stadium for their stadium show, inevitably. Trust me, time will be kind to us on that one.
None of the aggregators picked it up? Wow.
Oh, boy. Sometimes I'll sneak it in the Fightful Wrestling Weekly, and they miss out on it. LA Knight has re-signed with WWE. Bobby Lashley's deal appears to be up with WWE as well. We had news that Michael Oku will likely be working with AEW as well. Just a ton of stuff there. We had the Bound for Glory location at NXT Scoops thread. And as always, Raw, SmackDown Scoops threads. That's in addition to our Q&A show that dropped this evening. But subscribe, FightfulSelect.com. Please support original content creators. I cannot begin to tell you how important that is that that you do that. That way this content keeps going. But let's get to some of our Super Chats and Humper Chats, Denise. That's how people let us know that they're here, that they want to talk about certain things. But before we do that, we got to make sure everybody here says present and drops.
I was about to say, are we still doing that?
Yeah, the roll call that Denise called for. We need everybody to say they're present. Drop us a fruit emoji. Steppy says, here's a hypothetical for a Humper Chat. Let's say Cena does 5 programs in his last year. I think Orton and Cody are locked. I'll say the other 3 are Gunther, Braun, and Drew. Those are my guesses. What say you? Denise, is there anything specifically you need to see out of John Cena?
Dang, I don't know. I think it's sort of along the lines of what everybody is saying. Here's the thing. I look at this and I go, damn, do I want to see him like rehash some of his older feuds and, you know, one final goodbye, right? Or do I just want to see him wrestle a bunch of new people that I've never seen him wrestle with? And to be honest, I'm kind of good with either. I know that, you know, CM Punk has been mentioned, Randy Orton has been mentioned. Shit, I'd like to see AJ Styles again. I mean, there's a lot of really different options that they can go with it, but I would also like to see him work with some of people that we've never seen him wrestle. Bron Breakker, I mean, that would be crazy. There's so many options, and we don't even know for sure how many matches he's actually having, because he really just said, what did he say, like 18 to something dates or something like that? I forgot the number that he threw out there about how many dates he was doing, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're matches. I know Joe Hendry's trying to get himself a John Cena match, and he made a big push for that too. So in terms of when we talked about that in our interview, so part of me is like, oh, I would kind of like to see that happen too, just for the hell of it. So there's a lot.
I want to see him team with CM Punk. I like that suggestion from Punk. I also want to see him team. I don't need to see him team with R-Truth. We did already see that. So I don't know if that one needs to be on the board now. But I like the idea of Gunther first off. You know, the American boy against the created in a lab European heel. You know what I mean? Like that type of thing. Braun Breakker could be an interesting one as well, but he might actually kill John Cena. But I really do want to see him. I want to see him team with Orton too. I want to see them like combine forces as well. Steppy says, here's a toughie. Haven't been watching this many people so over the same time since I've been watching. Who are the most 5 over people in the company? Roman, Cody, Jay, Rhea, Seth, Orton, KO, Sammy, LA Punk, etc. It's a tough debate. Who would you pick?
Roman, I would say Cody, Punk, top 3. Rhea, 4.
I think Rhea is 3. I think maybe Punk's 4.
Who's 5th?
Ooh.
I'm going to go with Jay. I saw so many of his freaking t-shirts and people yeeting everywhere. I'm going to go with Jay just for the yeet and the t-shirt stuff.
I'm going to say, just for the sake of being different, I'm going to say Damian Priest after tonight. That guy's getting some crazy reactions. Maybe Seth. But Steppy, that's a very, very good point. Like, I remember once upon a time when you and I covered this show and nobody was likable on the show. Everybody was stupid. Like, they booked everybody to be really, really dumb.
I'm trying to think who was the most likable person when everything was stinking. Everybody liked back in the day. Honestly, there was only times where it was Matt Riddle and Randy Orton when they were carrying so much of the show, Chad Gable, Otis, they seem to always have people on their side for the most part. They were over, but everybody else was just kind of there. I mean, there was a few more. I'm just not thinking of them right now.
Crazy 101 says, who are three people from AEW you would book against Cena?
If I could book anybody, Will Ospreay.
Yeah, Will Ospreay.
Darby Allin, because I say Darby Allin to everybody. That's my gimmick now, Darby Allin.
I would say, I want, go ahead, you say you three.
I was still thinking. Well, for reals though, I would say, who did I say first right now? I'm forgotting my own answer that I just gave. Well, yeah, Will Ospreay was the first one that I mentioned, sticking with him. And then two other people that I would book against John Cena, Okada, to see what kind of match they would do.
That'd be great.
And then a third one to make it different. Because this one would be very different. How about Rey Fénix? There you go. Although that might count on the WWE side now.
I'd say Paul White three times.
Okay.
No, not really. Oh. If it could be Sting, I would say Sting, but
that's not alive
in the world of possibility anymore. But I would say MJF as one. Oh, for yeah, sure.
That would be really good. I feel him as my three.
I'm just gonna I'm just saying three different ones from you. But I would say him. I honestly wouldn't mind Christian Cage again because they sort of have unfinished business from like 20 years ago. I feel like Adam Copeland's also a cheap one. That's a cheap answer, so that's not going to happen. I won't go there. I'm looking up and down their roster, and
Luchasaurus. There, moving on.
That'd be good. That'd be good.
I'm just shitting. What are you talking about?
Kenny Omega. I'd love to see him in Kenny Omega.
I was waiting to see if you were going to say Kenny Omega. I didn't say Kenny Omega because I felt the answer was too obvious.
Yeah. Apex Caliber says we need one more Cena versus Punk match. Man, John Cena is the most super chatted thing on tonight's show so far. Unbelievable.
Why?
People love him, I guess. I don't know.
I know, but why today?
Hell, I don't know. Takeshita is also a good shout as
well. I love Takeshita. I want to see Takeshita versus Sean Ross Sapp even. No, I think he'd give you a 5-star match, Sean.
I think he'd probably beat the living shit out of me based on what I've heard.
It'd be 5 stars. It would be a 5-star beatdown.
KE775 says, how many more matches do you see getting added to Bash at Berlin? Does Kaiser make the card? Well, considering he was on main event tonight, I doubt it. But Fightful Select did report Dragon Lee was also on the show. They have 3 matches announced right now. Cody and Kevin, Gunther and Randy, and then the mixed tag. I think they'll add 3 more matches. They seem to really like that 6-match card.
What if they do Sheamus and Ludwig?
That'd be cool. I'd be fine with that. I wish they would for his sake, but they seem to be very, very hit or miss with that type of thing and whether or not that they really even want to do it. So
who else do you think they'd put in that? I would hope they would give Bron Breakker a match or Nia Jax because I think you have the mixed tag match. You have no women's matches besides the mixed tag. So I would hope to see Nia Jax defend her title at Bash in Berlin.
Yeah, I mean, that division needs some juice behind it. But our show will have some juice behind it. Mr. Santi Zap joining me. Check it out, guys. WWE Bash in Berlin. We got a couple of afternoon shows coming up this month, Denise. I'm pretty excited about that.
I am too. Well, I'm going to be at Bash in Berlin, so I think it'll be a great experience. Yeah, I've never been to Berlin.
Not know that.
I love to travel, and I love to go to places I've never been to, so I'm going to Berlin. I will be there. We'll see what the hell I get. I'm mostly going for the experience because I've never been to Berlin, and I'm extending my trip. So, hey, I won't be here that Raw, by the way. Sean, I won't be here. Okay. Because I'm going to Amsterdam.
Denise is going to get high.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get high. Sean, those are definitely not my plans. My plans are to go to the Anne Frank house. That is the thing I'm going to Amsterdam for because it's a bucket list item that I've always wanted to do. So, yeah.
My God. I'm excited for you. I know.
I'm excited, too.
That's great. You're gonna enjoy that a lot. I just got into traveling when Fightful became a thing and really when AEW became a thing, because when AEW became a thing, that sort of pushed WWE to do more junkets and press opportunities and stuff. And I didn't really travel before then. So getting to travel is sort of new for me, but traveling to a place where I don't speak the language and can't like read the language. Japan would be tough for me because I don't know the alphabet either. But I think I could do Germany. I think
you'd be surprised in a lot of these places. Like there's help everywhere.
Yeah. Crazy 101 says my picks versus Cena would be Will, Swerve, and Hangman. The Hangman would be a real good one too. He's always over. When do you see Ricochet debuting? Motor City Machine Gun update. I feel at the latest the Gauntlet match because FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, reported that they are going to they're planning on like loading that up. They want that to be like something that is seen as their signature match. And I think it is their signature match. I think they found a hit with that. Motor City Machine Guns, I don't have an update. Sorry. Mark and Jacob Henry were in the crowd. Candice Michelle was in the crowd for WWE Raw. The stars are out, Denise. Seahawk was there. Caden was there. Can you believe it?
So I had not seen Candice Michelle in years. I met her over 15 years ago at a PWG show. Yeah, she was there and I went up to her and asked her for a photo. I was in middle school. So, I mean, this was a really long time ago. And I feel like that's the last time I saw her because she doesn't even really make that many appearances for WWE. Like, when's the last time she was there? I don't remember.
She did the 24/7 thing.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, she won the 24/7 title.
When did that happen? Was I there? Did I watch it? I don't remember that.
It was years ago. Who'd she pin? Oh, gosh. I can't even remember who she pinned.
See, but, no one remembers.
Other than that, I think she wrestled one match in like the last 15 years or
Where?
So. And I think it was House of Hardcore. It was against Victoria.
Oh, see, I didn't see that either. Yeah. So I feel like I have not seen this woman in God forever. So
I watched her TED talk.
I was like, oh shoot.
Just watch her TED talk.
Oh, I thought you said
TED talk.
Oh, TED talk. What'd she do her TED talk about?
Wrestling. It was something. It was something.
Something good?
Nah. Anyway.
Rhea Ripley. You brought it up. I'm just asking questions.
Rhea Ripley opens the show. She's interrupted by Dominic and Liv, who are up in the concourse, so to speak. It got a lot of heat for Dominic. Dominic is getting those reactions. And what I love, man, I got so much shit last year when I said it's weird that they're piping in booze for Dominic because he doesn't need it. But they absolutely were. You could hear the audio track, had multiple producers confirm it to me. They're not doing that now. And it sounds so much better. It sounds just so much better because he gets the reactions. They didn't need to make it worse on TV. And now those reactions, like they match up to the crowd and him talking and not talking so much better. I didn't think the promo stuff between Rhea and Liv was like particularly good. There were some funny lines. They're like, Dominic saying she gave him tendies whenever he wants and all that, but
or him not going deep enough,
being
deep enough. That was the best part. That's the only part I remember.
But it's hard to sort of come to terms like with Uriah's like, you know, I was very proud of you for what you accomplished over the last couple of years, and I'm like, well, he didn't really accomplish anything. He was he was helping you guys cheat. It's tough to sort of reconcile this, right? They were dastardly heels for years, and a couple of them just got so popular that they facilitated a turn. It's hard for me to feel bad for Rhea. Like, I like Rhea. She's great. But I don't feel bad for Rhea.
I do feel bad for her. As a woman, I cannot condone another woman stealing another man's... Oh, how does it work? Wait. I cannot condone a man cheating on a woman or a woman stealing another woman's man. Both parties...
He wasn't her man.
He was her man. He was out here to feed her little whatever he was. He was still
She was stringing him along.
He wanted it. Don't act like he didn't want it. He looked very happy for a long time, Sean.
Wanting it and having it are two different things.
He looked very damn happy with her. Don't act like he wasn't happy. He looked happy.
I feel like he's happier now.
Doesn't matter if he's happier now. The point is they screwed Rhea. So yes, I do feel bad for Rhea because Dominic was her. Whatever he was to her, he was still hers. You just don't do that.
Damian Priest pops up behind them on the concourse. Huge pop and a great moment. I thought that was the highlight. But quickly, commentary made me go, what the hell are we talking about here?
With Rhea's line, because everybody just stood there.
What was Rhea's line? Sorry.
I don't even remember. She said something and everybody was like, what? What? And then Damian Priest came out.
Yeah, it wasn't great. But Michael Cole goes, Liv has nowhere to go. And I'm like, what are you talking about, nowhere to go? She's on the concourse. She can run through the crowd. She can run down by ringside. Damian Priest isn't going to hit her. She could run out the damn back door. What are we talking about here? Like, there's no way.
So, personally, I feel that they held back in this segment.
Yeah.
Because they have crossed certain lines, right? We've seen Dominic and Liv Morgan full on making out. And yeah. We've gotten some lines. For example, when Liv basically said that guys don't go for girls like Rhea Ripley, that they go for blondes like her, right? That was a line that was sort of controversial for some people. And so they've had some moments that you can say were more extreme than others. So because when you cross those lines, it's almost like that's what you want to keep getting. And when you don't get those things on a consistent basis, it can sort of fall a little flat. And even with this, like, I felt like they could have said more things that were more savage on the promo. That's why the thing that I remembered the most was when Rhea said that it wasn't deep enough. That was the most like savage thing that I've heard in the whole thing. But even in the brawl, for example, we were out there in the concession stands, and if you notice, Rhea went out there and she got to Liv Morgan. But instead of the camera following them, we end up following Dominic and Damian Priest, which was fine. But I felt like there was a lot more that we could have seen between Rhea and Liv had we seen them brawl out in the concession stands and also seen the men. So I kind of felt like they spent too much time on the talking when they could have been spending more time and they could have had a whole ass, you know, freaking fight in the concessions area. Cause I think that was the interesting part. And I hate that we never saw how that portion with Rhea and Liv ended until way later on when they were back in the ring. But I felt there was more there that they kind of just ended it abruptly. So again, I think that they kind of held back in a lot of this opening segment.
I agree. I think it could have been a lot better. We got Apex Caliber saying, Damian and Rhea are heels. My memory is older than 2 years. Well, Apex, you showed that because you say Rhea beat Dom to submission and backstabbed Liv in 2022. Exactly. Like that's all they really need to play off of and say, no, you actually aren't a good person, or at least you weren't then, and we never forgot about it.
Yeah, but Dom cannot act like he's innocent and he didn't do nothing, and neither can Liv. They screwed Rhea. Sure, you can say, oh, there was revenge, but then planning it the whole entire time? Because then you got to tell the story that they were planning it the entire time.
Not 2 years, maybe a few months. But like, why
would he not be upset about it in the beginning and then be upset about it towards the end?
He was giving her a shot. Listen, Denise, if Dominic can land a woman like Rhea, he's going to give her the chance to prove that she's not just going to make him the lapdog. I mean, come on. What are we doing here? You're going to give her the opportunity.
Look, I'm just saying, if you land a girl roll like of the Rhea, dice, you'll be happy being the lapdog, all right?
That's a roll of the dice that you're going to hope to land on sevens with. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com. You're just going to take that gamble.
I have no comment. I'm just saying that Dominic is not innocent and do not act like he was the victim of this.
No, he's not innocent. But this started out with just Rhea and Judgment Day screwing with Ray. That's what it was all about.
Yeah, and Dom literally turned on his whole family for Rhea Ripley. He turned on his mother, his father, all for Rhea.
Forgot
about that already? Went to his freaking house and freaking brawled on the holidays.
Who he turns on is not my business. That's personal. That's personal stuff.
All I'm saying is Dominic Mysterio has everything coming to him. And I am siding with Rhea Ripley in the story because he knew what he was getting into and then he turned on her. And that is not right.
Well, listen, if you're turning on your sides all night sleeping, check out helixsleep.com/Fightful. I just got their new Sunset Lux, my second Helix mattress. I loved my first one so much that I wanted to get another one as well. helixsleep.com/Fightful. A few years ago, I needed a new mattress. I looked for the best reviewed mattress online. It was during the pandemic. I didn't want to go to a mattress store, roll around on a mattress that other people had been on, and I found a Helix Sleep. Now we got helixsleep.com/Fightful because after I took my personalized quiz, got my mattress, it was delivered to my door, set up almost immediately. I said, you know what? I want to do business with these wonderful people. And now you can do business with them. You'll be able to get 20% off at helixsleep.com/Fightful. No matter what kind of sleeper that you are, they have a mattress for you. And they offer a 100-night trial, a 10 to 15-year warranty when you try out their Helix mattress, your Helix mattress, anybody's, by God. It can be anybody's because they got these flexible payment plans, a lot of options. It comes with a 15-year manufacturer's warranty and the same 100-night trial as the rest of Helix Sleep's mattress. You can go to helixsleep.com and get their elite models. They've really harnessed years of extensive mattress expertise to bring their customers an elevated sleep experience. So you go there, you'll take their quick quiz, and then they'll match you up with the mattress that's right for you. Whether it is that you need spinal alignment, you sleep hot, you sleep cool, you need something firm, you need something soft, or in the middle, they got you covered. They've also got incredible pillows there as well. helixsleep.com/Fightful even has kids mattresses, plus size mattresses, a little bit of everything. Check them out. Bog says on my 37th straight free trial. Love Helix. Yeah. Helix Sleep is wonderful. Greatly appreciate those people. Crazy 101 says Candace pinned Kelly for the 24/7 title. Melina was the ref. Okay.
Man, people remember everything out here. What? I don't remember any of this happening.
Any chance California gets a Big Four pay-per-view next year?
When's the last time we had a pay-per-view? WrestleMania 39?
I'm going to say yes, because they're going to see that new Clippers, the Intuit
arena. Oh my gosh.
They're going to want to go there.
I'm so you should see the traffic on that freaking street, because on the same street, it's SoFi, Kia Forum, and Intuit Dome, all in the same exact freaking street, same freeway exit, everything the same. And I'm thinking to myself, so when I went to go see Taylor Swift at the SoFi Stadium, Sean, I live 20 minutes away from SoFi, okay? It took me about 3 hours to get home. And what's worse is they rerouted me further and further and further from my house because I couldn't go a certain direction because the cops block off all the streets. Yeah. Now, that was just for SoFi. What is going to happen when there's an event on all of these three places?
I was shocked. I'm the
only person thinking about this.
I was shocked when we did SummerSlam and they had a Cleveland Guardians game that day too. I was like, why would they do this?
Oh, first, I noticed that for SmackDown. For SmackDown, I saw that they had a baseball game going on at the exact same time as well. And I was like, yeah. Oh no, this looks very stressful.
Maddie Mania says Michelle McCool was there too. I was sitting behind hard cam and I was shook to see her. I mean, it seems like we're getting highlighted more people that are there, or we're getting more people that are highlighted being there, which makes me happy. It's very good. Damian Priest ended up defeating Carlito, and afterwards, Judgment Day tried to pop up, interfere, all that stuff. JD gets choke slammed. Finn Balor barely escapes. The match was what it was. We saw this last week, but there was a rumor today, Denise, that Judgment Day would get their name changed to Street Trash.
I didn't see that rumor.
That was a rumor today. I didn't hear it personally, but it was reported elsewhere. I can't say that I've heard this. And if that were the case, that would be an all-time stupid decision. And let me tell you, WWE has made some very dumb decisions with names.
Why would you want to call yourself Street Trash, though?
Hell if I know. Very dumb.
No, I think they're fine staying as Judgment Day.
We got the Wyatt vignette with Bo Dallas saying that Bray was with them last week. That was emotional. I mean, I can tell based on engagement numbers and all that, like they're meaning a little less each week to the viewer because we're starting to see very, very similar ones. I would like to see them. I want to hear from Dexter Lumis. I want to hear from Joe Gacy as well. They weren't really featured on the show today. So I would like to see them speak as well as they tell this story and sort of stretch out what it is they're doing. Last week, the main event went just fine. The whole thing has been what happens when the bell rings. Had a whole lot of people saying that I was a liar when I said they weren't doing anything supernatural. They're not. They got to make sense of it when the bell rings. How are you feeling so far about the vignettes that we are still seeing?
Right. So I think the vignettes always hit because, you know, it's a serious topic that you're talking about when you're talking about Bray. And I think this one in particular, you know, they showed some of that footage and what was it? Baltimore? Was it Baltimore last week? And they were talking about they were talking about Baltimore being like the beginning of everything. And so I thought that kind of hit pretty nicely. But I do think that some of the vignettes do sort of feel a little bit like filler. But at the same time, that's sort of what is adding to the group, though. Like, seeing all of these videos, I think, just make them stand out from everything else that you're seeing on the show, because you're not seeing any other group get these types of videos. No one else is doing these types of videos. So it does stand out a whole lot. But I think at some point, I think you're right. I think people do want to hear from, why is Joe Gacy part of the group? Why is Dexter? What's been going on with Dexter Lumis between the last time we saw him and now? I think people like to get those stories filled in for them. So, again, and sometimes it feels a little bit like filler, but then sometimes it hits really hard. You just never know what you're going to get.
I will say this. I just saw a video that Kyler tweeted from the Fightful account that a fan took of Rhea Ripley chasing Liv down the arena.
Was it the rest of what we didn't see?
Yes, and it was hilarious. Liv was getting it. She was,
and they didn't show that.
Oh my god, she was getting it. Does Liv versus Rhea end for now at Bad Blood in October? I think so. We did have Damian and Rhea versus Liv and Dom announced as well for Bash in Berlin, which I think is really, really great. But, oh man, Odyssey Jones defeated Vincent Winey. They announced him as a football player from Moorhead State. Some notable athletes from Moorhead State: Phil Sims, who won a Super Bowl; Kenneth Faried, who is the all-time NCAA rebounding leader, drafted by the Denver Nuggets. Do you know any other notable athletes from Moorhead State University?
No.
Right here, Denise.
You?
Right here. Your boy was a Moorhead State Eagle.
Wait, what were you in? What sport?
I was in the sport of shit posting, competitive shit posting.
Wait, you didn't basically do any athletics while you were in college?
Hell no, I didn't play yet. Like, what do you think? They don't have amateur wrestling there. They don't have anything like that.
Yeah, no, I just figured that you would do something.
No.
Are you in any clubs in college?
That college, no. When I was in another college, yeah. But I mean, I was there doing convergent media. But yeah,
sounds fancy.
It was.
I remember, in college, I really wanted to join the adventure club, but I got made fun of. So I decided not to join because I got bullied for it. I told somebody that I wanted to join the adventure club, and they were like, only nerds join the adventure club. So then I got bullied out of it. And to this day, I regret not ever joining the adventure club because they sounded like they had a blast.
Damn.
I know.
I guess where all the people that wanted to do combat sports, they just came to our gyms. I mean, that was the closest to anything college sport related was we had a catch wrestling team that pretty well served as the catch wrestling team from everywhere, an hour and a half around. But
do you think we'd be friends, Sean, if we knew each other in high school or in college? I don't know.
Let me tell you.
I don't think we'd be in the same groups of people.
I wasn't talking to anybody in college. I did not want to talk to anybody in college. I would drive to campus. Here's what happened. I stayed on campus for a whopping week. My roommate was up till 4 a.m. every night, like tapping away on his computer. And I said, nope, I'm just going to drive the hour back and forth every day. I didn't really care that much to do anything like that. I would go play some basketball. And that was about it. And then I would go the hell home. But
what group were you in high school? Were you with the nerds, the jocks, the athletes? Who were you with?
Gosh. Well, I ran track a little bit, but I wouldn't say I was with the athletes or anything like that. I mean, we don't exactly, like, from where we are, we didn't really have enough people to have that. Like, we are so school had seven
cliques.
I mean, kind of, yeah, but I mean, it wasn't like to that extreme degree. Like, if there were athletes, there weren't groups like that, you know. Like, there would be like the Future Farmers of America, but listen, those were also the white boys hitting three pointers on our basketball team and serving on our offensive line. So it's like
the Future Farmers,
you know what I mean,
of America.
Yeah, it was a thing. The FFA.
Did you ever watch it? You told me you were in it.
Yeah. Did you ever watch Napoleon Dynamite?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where he's tasting the milk and stuff. He's got the FFA jacket on.
Oh, that's what it is?
That it is. That's what it is. Yeah.
Shut up. I'm dead.
I mean, I don't think that's a legit thing. I think that was.
Future.
Listen, this is good shit. The Future Engagement Farmers of America.
There you go.
That's what I was in.
Oh my God.
But like, that's the thing. Like, you would have the farmer guys and stuff like that. But also, those were the guys that were on the offensive line for your football team as well. And shooting three pointers. Like, so there was too much crossover when you got like 700 people in a school.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But, see, it was a little different in my school. I hung out with the skater boys. That was you and the skater girls that, and I didn't skate though, but that's who I hung out with. That was like my clique.
I was like one of two people that knew how to skate in school. So like there wasn't enough cliques to do anything like that.
I don't know. There was like thousands of people in my school, so I don't even know.
Odyssey Jones defeated Vincent Whiney, but I like that Karrion Kross came out and he was like, we all see what's going on here. Like, Kofi is replacing Big E. We see the comparisons here. And Kofi even was like, oh yeah, well, no tag team match next week. It'll be New Day. And then he made sure to say, and Odyssey Jones. And you could tell that he was doing that as to not include Odyssey Jones in New Day. But you could also tell that Xavier Woods was not like on board. He's very hesitant about this. And at this point, like, I think that Xavier's playing this very, very well. And I think Karrion's playing it well too. This, like, we all see what's going on here type of role. I think he's doing great.
Yeah, I noticed that Xavier Wood looked very annoyed when Kofi Kingston took the mic away from him and changed sort of the plans that they had. So it got me wondering, like, oh, I guess something really is going to happen between them, because I kind of want to see them all three stay together and be the new happy version of the New Day. Like, that's what I want. I don't want anyone to get mad and turn on anybody. I don't want anybody to go and join with the Final Testament. I don't want any of that. I want everybody to be happy. Sorry, oh, I don't want God. The New Day to break up. D-Lo Wait, says you think they're going to break up? No, right? I don't want them to break up, though. What, and go with the Final Testament?
No, I think it'll be Kofi God. And Kofi with Odyssey as his heater, I think.
Oh, okay. But That's even then, I'm still it. Sad about it, though.
D-Lo Diggs has been a hard week for me, but glad to at least celebrate 33 years around the sun in a few hours. Did you all have the Blue Ag group on the campus, on your campus? Well, first off, happy birthday, D-Lo. You've been a 41-month member of our YouTube program, which... Thank you very much. We greatly appreciate that. I don't know what you mean, the Blue Ag group. I mean, now it's so funny that he says that, because that's what we would call the farm. They were the ag kids, the agriculture kids. But we had them in their blue FFA jackets. I never made it far enough to get a blue FFA jacket. I was in there for the one semester I had agriculture class. I learned how to plant stuff. I can still do that, but
oh, I'm dead. I would love to take the Future Farmers of America class.
That listen, it was an experience. It was something. Like, yeah. We had some unusual classes looking back, like some very odd classes. That's a podcast of its own, like us going back and looking at what classes we had. No, we had bro, one I have where some we just fun sat
facts,
up,
man.
We had one where we sat out in a greenhouse all day. Like, we were just literally selling flowers and plants in the school greenhouse.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it was very weird.
Oh my God.
Somebody says, how does the blue FFA jacket hold up to the Ribera Steakhouse jacket? Now, hold on. For those of you who have never seen an FFA jacket, listen, ain't my style for sure.
I've never seen one.
But listen, they are, as we would say back in the day, they are stout jackets. They are, like, you can look at it and you're like, okay, you can kind of tell. I think it's like a corduroy type of material, like a dark
corduroy.
It's like a dark blue navy corduroy. But yeah, you don't own any corduroy, Denise?
No, no thanks. What am I, fucking Paddington? What? He wears corduroy. Does he not? Which one's the one that wears corduroy? Is it Corduroy Bear?
Paddington Bear?
There's one that wears corduroy and it's a bear. There's a bear that wears blue overalls. Let me see. Corduroy Bear? Is it Paddington?
It's not corduroy. It's like a rain jacket, isn't it?
Oh, it's this one. It's corduroy. It's this little bear. Sorry, I was thinking of Paddington, but it's corduroy. Corduroy Bear.
How dare you disgrace the name of Paddington? And people are in our chat saying, yep, it's Paddington. This is how misinformation gets spread. The dude's, the bear's name is literally Corduroy the Bear.
Unless Paddington also wears corduroy.
What?
Does he? No, he wears I don't know what his jacket is made out of. It could be corduroy too. But doesn't Paddington wear the little yellow outfit?
He's got like a little, where you...
Oh, this is Paddington's other outfit. He wears a yellow one too. Okay, but it's Corduroy Bear. Who am I? Corduroy Bear? I just...
Next year, yeah, I'm surprised you didn't throw out the Winnie the Pooh allegations. Him and his corduroy pants. No. Homeboy doesn't wear pants.
Winnie the Pooh wears crop tops.
I mean, anything's a crop top if you're not wearing pants, Denise.
No, it's not.
Listen.
No, it's not. You can wear a big giant t-shirt with no pants and that doesn't make it a crop top.
I disagree.
Well, no. A crop top means that the top is cropped. Therefore, it's a crop top.
I'm shy. Like, Paddington's rolling around with luggage, for the love of God. Listen, I'll say this first off. I don't know what Paddington's got on underneath that. Because he's like got it... He's got it shut. But
I don't know. Has he ever opened it? I don't know.
I hope not. I've never watched Paddington. I know that Paddington 2 was like rated 100. Ted doesn't wear shit.
Ted doesn't wear anything, huh? Ted's a nudist.
Ted's out there free baron. He just he holds a beer on occasion, but I think he wears a suit sometimes.
But, yeah, he does. I saw the picture of the suit.
Paddington 2 was rated 100% on Rotten Tomatoes at one point.
I've never seen Paddington or Corduroy.
Anyway, Obafemi was at ringside. Obafemi and Otis is confirmed for NXT tomorrow, which I love. That is going to be meat. That's going to be meat. Ivy meets with Maxine, and she was like, hey, listen, maybe I can get you into the group. I can't get the rest of the guys in. And Maxine's like, no. No. And Ivy goes, okay, I thought you'd say that. Then what we get is an absolute humper of a match between the American-made Creed brothers and Alpha Academy. Chad Gable's not there. He's over in Paris. He was doing stuff for the Olympics. But sometimes you just got to remind people that Akira Tozawa can wrestle his ass off, Denise. And if that's the direction we're going, great. I think we've missed the boat on some like big explosion of Otis being mega over, but it's very clear the Creeds are going to benefit from this. And they had an incredible match here. It ends with Ivy locking the Dragon Sleeper on Maxine. And as is tradition with women's wrestlers, it always hurts more when you do a submission hold on the table for some reason. I loved everything about this. I loved how it highlighted Tozawa. I love that the Creeds won. I love that Ivy made the turn. I love that she's officially in American Made. She should be whipping Maxine's ass. Maxine can't hold a candle to her in that regard. How'd you feel?
So I was sort of surprised when Ivy Nile did attack Maxine, because I was thinking about how they were friends and that was really her only friend when everybody was being mean to her and she seemed lost and confused and didn't know what to do. But I gotta say, I like this look on Ivy Nile. I think it was about time, because really she's been on the main roster for how long? And quite she's a been a background character. She hasn't been in any real storyline. I mean, she's been part of what the Creeds have been doing and all of this, and she's had those little backstage moments with Maxine, but nothing has really been about her. She's been part of it, but it hasn't been about her. And right now with this attack on Maxine, I like this. I personally felt like this was a good thing for Ivy Nile moving forward on the show.
I do too. I think it's, and I'm glad they don't just, ignore the fact that the Creed brothers are still there while Gable is off doing some stuff. And just like, if he's in Paris, show us that he's in Paris by all means. This is something WWE didn't used to do. They used to just ignore him for that week. No, show us that the dude was traveling, that he was doing something cool. I thought that was a really, really great approach as well. I think
they should have showed him eating some baguettes or some eclairs, some macaroons.
I don't think he would eat those types of things.
Yeah, I know, but damn. But that's just, I don't think he Paris. Would. Gosh.
Crazy 101 says Anna Jay is killing it so far. Takeshita's on fire too. Takeshita is so very clearly like a guy for the future. And a lot of people forget Anna Jay was thrown right into the fire. Right into the fire. I have a Pete Dunne interview. There's a lot of things I liked about this, Denise. He said that he doesn't like Sheamus because Sheamus saddled him as his sidekick and gave him a goofy name that he hated. He said he's not Butch. He never wants to hear Butch again. And he's going to eliminate Sheamus. This is very clearly designed to get people to chant Butch at him, Denise.
Ew, you think, oh yeah, because he hates it, so people are going to do it. Oh, but why? We were getting past that. I don't want them to be chanting Butch at him. But then again, the fans hate it so much that I don't know if the fans will be chanting Butch at him. But what I love about this is that Pete Dunne is technically on his revenge tour, because he's coming after Sheamus. He's pissed at Sheamus. And I like what he's been doing both on the main roster and on NXT, because he's feuding with Trick Williams over there. He got a victory over Trick Williams last week, and I was so surprised by that.
Clean.
Right?
It was great.
I love that for Pete Dunne. I love that he's doing both of these things simultaneously. He just looks like he's got problems everywhere. But yeah, I don't even remember the last time we got an interview like this for Pete Dunne. So I liked that they highlighted him in this way, because we don't see Pete Dunne have no sit down interviews every week. God, I don't even know if he's ever had one before. If he did, I don't even remember it.
I think they're very important to utilize as well. And Pete Dunne did attack Sheamus later on when Sheamus was kind of making light of the situation. Good. I like that. I think that makes an awful lot of sense.
He smashed his fingers with the shillelagh.
Yeah.
That was brutal. That was my favorite part. That was my favorite part.
Mike says, any update on Lashley? Could he debut at All In, All Out? Could you see him shocking everyone and staying with WWE? What's your honest prediction? My prediction is what people close to him claim to me, as reported on FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business. Promise you guys it's worth it. We reported, of all things, he had a birthday party this past weekend. And you might say, well, why the hell does that matter, Sean? And especially, why does it matter 3 weeks after his actual birthday? Well, because for some reason, Bobby Lashley decided to have his birthday party in Texas, a few miles away from where Collision was. And a bunch of people actually got booked on Collision to attend that as well. So I don't think that's an accident. I'm sure he was there talking to him. We had reported his contract was up pretty soon. He has already sort of tipped his hand to Nice that he's leaving WWE, because he said he's doing a boxing fight, which is something we had said was on the table as well. So where do you think he's going?
I would imagine he would go to AEW. I don't know when. I don't know what the deal would be, but I can't imagine that they wouldn't figure something out on both sides for things to work.
Damage control vignette. Dakota Kai is sidelined like 8 to 10 weeks with an MCL injury, I believe it is. That's unfortunate. She was able to get written off and all that, but let me tell you what is going to take some getting used to. The Pure Fusion Collective.
Denise. Hey, we wanted a name, Sean. We wanted a name. Now it's here.
So, Alex has this thing that he says on Sour Graps on Fightful Select called the Monday Night Monkey's Paw. And it's where you make a wish and it comes true, but something bad happens. This is one of the fingers put down on the Monday Night Monkey's Paw right here, which we haven't had to do too much lately. But we're like, Zoe, Shayna, Sonya, they're so badass. And now they sound like an experimental rock band from 2002. They sound like they're going on tour with the Polyphonic Spree.
That's what you thought? I thought they sounded like a gym. Every gym out here is called Fusion something.
Mishin had suggested the stud line on Twitter. Listen, I think it's funny. But it was a miracle that they ever did LWO back in the day when there was an NWO, because there were a lot of NWO members that were like, oh, this is making fun of what we do. So I don't think that they're going to sort of undermine the bloodline by doing that. But the Pure Fusion Collective, well, their match goes to a no contest because of the Unholy Union getting involved, Alba and Isla laying all of them out. We've got a triple threat next week. How do you feel about how they did this? They had the Damage Control promo, the Pure Fusion Collective reveal. They did the match. It went to a no contest, but then they set up a title match off of that.
All right. So I did like both promos, both the Damage Control and the Pure Fusion Collective. The Pure Fusion Collective promo as well. I didn't like the name, of course, because I just felt like it sounded too wordy. And it didn't match the group. You see what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't match them. Why are they called the Pure Fusion Collective? Why?
Maybe I missed it. I don't know why.
I don't get the name. So again, maybe just I'm on the same boat. But I do think that they could have had a cooler name. I think the internet had a bunch of them, as we saw. Studline, you mentioned, being one of them. There was a lot of random stuff being thrown out there. But I do think they could have thought of something cooler. And something tells me that they came up with this super last minute, because it had been a while till they gave them a name. And I feel like this was the best thing that they had. So it makes me wonder what other options they did have. But Pure Fusion Collective, again, sounds like a gym. It sounds like I would go and get my body right over someplace in some bougie place in Hollywood that charges like $350 for a membership.
Does definitely seem like you get a smoothie there.
Right? That's what I'm saying. You'd get yourself your workout and then your little smoothie and then your little towel. Have you, like, I was about to say, have you ever been to these gyms? Do they have these kinds of gyms in Kentucky? Like these super fancy freaking gyms?
Oh yeah, they got a gym on it. Okay. They got a gym on every corner except my damn neighborhood. We can't get a 24-hour gym out here. It's driving me nuts. But yeah, they got plenty of them like that out here. But we got Tanner Hill sending a super chat. Get him in, guys. Super chats, humper chats. Cole said Rey Mysterio will be doing a Fanatic signing with a mystery partner this weekend. Could it be a possible Penta announcement? Possibly. And I'll have some more on Fightful Select on Tuesday about why. Now, I had reported last week that many thought that Penta could be in Orlando this week. Ibu of WrestlePurist said that there are people in WWE that believe that as well. We'll see. Now, this could possibly tie into this comment that Adam Pearce made on the phone. He said, and I quote, "Yes, both of them, and I want it done by tonight." Both of them. Do you think it means Sammy and Jay going to SmackDown for some reason? Do you
I
think
missed
it
this. Means, when did he say this?
He said this on the phone before Drew approached him. And it could people are saying it could be Motor City Machine Guns. It could be Lucha Bros. But he said, yes, both of them, and I want to make sure it's done by the end of the night.
Well, considering that we didn't see anything new at the end of the night with two new people, I'm guessing he was talking about something else.
I think it's more inking the deal.
Oh, well, I completely missed that. Yeah. I don't know. Now I just feel clueless. I don't want to go out here and say it's going to be the Lucha Bros. That's too extreme.
You should.
Why? I don't want to give people false hope.
Have you ever interviewed one of them?
I've interviewed both of them multiple times.
I wasn't sure.
Come on, Sean. Keep up with the product.
Listen. I got a good interview I'm working on. I'll tell you off air.
I hope it's good. Is it in Spanish?
It should be.
In Spanish.
Okay, I'll tell you who it is.
I'd mark if you did one in Spanish.
Listen, I'll tell you who it is in the private chat, and I think you would agree it would be very funny in Spanish.
That would be very funny in Spanish.
I think so.
And what's funny is that you and I are both working on the exact same interview.
Yeah, well, there you go. There you go.
That person is very, very in high demand is what I hear.
I would imagine. Randy Orton promo backstage, or actually, Randy Orton was kind of walking backstage, and he came across R-Truth and Miz. R-Truth saw Miz bummed out, sad, and said, "Oh, it's okay. I got you a match with Braun." He's like, "An Intercontinental title match with Braun Breaker? Isn't he facing Sami Zayn?" And he's like, "Oh, isn't this you?" And it was Bronson Reed. Now, I like that the Miz is even, they kind of put over Bronson Reed, and that Miz was like, "Yeah, give me Bronson or Braun Breaker, not Bronson Reed." But Randy Orton hyped him up and was like, "No, he doesn't have a chance. He doesn't have a chance at all." But he cuts a promo. He's interrupted by Gunther. Check out our interview with Gunther here on YouTube. But Orton says that pretty soon he'll be making his permanent home Raw once he wins the world title. Talked about winning the world title 20 years ago this month. I like the heat here between Orton and Gunther. Randy ends up with the last laugh. Drew walked out and it caused that distraction. And then CM Punk, who had claimed he wasn't there earlier in the evening, made the attack. But let's focus on the Orton Gunther aspect of it. How'd you feel about that?
So the thing that I like about Gunther is that I never know what to expect from his promos, in the sense that he always hits us with a little surprise. I feel like in the beginning, when he was when he did that promo with The Miz a long time ago, everybody thought, "Oh, damn, Gunther's actually really good at promos." And then afterwards, he had that promo with Damian Priest. And we were all sitting here going, what the hell just happened here? Oh, my God. What does he mean by street trash and all of these awful things, right? And then he does this promo with Randy Orton where he calls him a screw up and he brings up his grandfather. He brings up his father. And I thought, oh, that is low. But that is exactly what I like from Gunther. He comes across as a person who is on such a high horse. He looks down on you. He seems like the kind of person that will preach at you for being wrong. And he would tell you how his morals are better than yours. And I love that. I love that about Gunther, because when, for example, when he called Damian Priest street trash, I believe him, that he believes that he truly is street trash. When he said that Randy Orton was a screw up, I truly believe that that's what Gunther felt like. There was one thing that I did not, that I thought kind of made Gunther look a little silly, was when he said that Randy Orton was super predictable. And I thought, yeah, everyone knows he's going to hit his RKO out of nowhere. That's probably the most predictable thing about Randy Orton. And in the end, he got an RKO out of nowhere, and freaking Gunther didn't see it coming. So I kind of felt like he ended up screwing himself, stepping on his own toes in regards to him saying Randy Orton was predictable and then didn't predict the most predictable Randy Orton thing ever. So that was the only portion of it I didn't like. But of course, you know, Randy Orton did have to get the upper hand here in this segment. So whatever, I'll look past it. But that's what I was thinking about during this whole Gunther Randy Orton stuff.
And I love that Gunther was seen in the background of the CM Punk shot, like throwing stuff around. Like, he was very mad, because Gunther, even when he almost loses during matches, he is calm and collected. So to see him lose his composure, I think is kind of cool to witness. We got CM Punk also say, yeah, I lied about missing a flight. Big deal. Which I'm sure will play into some tell me when I'm telling lies memes, but I like that Drew McIntyre before this was like, I don't care about CM Punk. I beat CM Punk. I'm good. I'm set. He was more worried about why Orton was getting a title shot, as he should be. He was looking onward, and I respect that. I think that made sense. But now CM Punk's giving him reason to not look onward. But you know what you can look onward to, Denise?
What?
That AEW pay-per-view package, All In, All Out. And you can get it with Nord. Are high pay-per-view prices getting to you? Maybe MLB blackouts, maybe the insane cost of Sunday ticket, whatever it might be. NordVPN.com/Fightful is here to help. You get NordVPN.com/Fightful. You change your virtual location with one click. Maybe you want to be in the West Coast when you can't watch a game on the East Coast. They got you covered. Maybe the pay-per-view prices are just too high, or there's too many of them. Switch your virtual location overseas and get the prices that they're paying there. NordVPN.com/Fightful does it all for you. And that's in addition to their password manager, their protection on public Wi-Fi, the ability to use it on all your devices, including your router, your TV. It doesn't matter. They've got you on all those. And a 30-day money-back guarantee. Maybe you're just feeling wild and you want to try it. Well, you know what? In 30 days, if you don't like it, spoiler, you will. You can get your money back. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Crazy 101 says they should do Drew versus Punk dog collar match. Looks like they're doing a strap match, Denise. That seems to be the direction they're going. CM Punk teased that tonight.
Yeah, I think with all of those belt shots, I mean, there's nothing more insulting than a man getting all of these hit by a belt that is his. He got hit with his own belt. Yeah. Tell me that's not insulting.
Yeah, definitely giving another man back shots is for sure one of the more disrespectful things you can do. We got Bronson Reed. I don't think he should have sold for Miz at all. I don't think
Thank
there should
you.
Have been any of that.
That's exactly what I was thinking about during this match. I didn't feel like Miz should have gotten any offense whatsoever. I was more surprised by how much offense he got in this match. I thought, I'm like, for sure they're going to serve Miz on a platter to Bronson Reed. No, R-Truth took it way worse than the Miz. I was a little bit upset at this.
Yeah, I didn't need that at all. But what I did need was the awesome finish to this segment. Dread King says, Bronson Reed destroying people, quickly becoming my favorite part of the show. I mean, to do that to R-Truth, who is universally beloved, Denise. Everybody likes Truth. It's hard to dislike Truth. He did, for those wondering, he did the same thing he did last week. He destroyed Seth Rollins. And now we know Seth Rollins has been written off TV for a little bit, which, you know, that's a bummer. Hate to hear that. Seems like a nagging injury. Apologies, I've got the hiccups. But R-Truth, man, 52-year-old R-Truth getting done this way, and then him going back for more at the end. Like, I think it should be a while before we see R-Truth. I don't think he should be on the show for like at least 3-4 weeks.
Well, hey, man, if we're not going to see Seth Rollins for however long, then that means R-Truth's got to be out for even a little longer than that.
I agree.
Yeah, I thought, damn, I was expecting The Miz to take like 5-10 tsunamis, and now he took one, and R-Truth took, what, 6? I think it was. I don't even know how much it got to towards the end. But yeah, I was a little bit bummed out from – I was a little bit bummed out by the match because I thought, like, you really, really hit it so hard. And they knocked it out of the park last week with him and Seth, and I just kind of felt like today they kind of went a step backwards. And thankfully, he did the multiple tsunamis on R-Truth, which was great, but I really do think it would have hit harder had he had a more dominant match against The Miz. I thought The Miz was the easiest person for him to basically beat up.
Yeah, I think that Miz shouldn't have gotten any offense, just like you said. I think that what he did to R-Truth made an awful lot of sense. It was ultimately good stuff, but like I did not need Miz getting any offense. I understand the accolades that they hyped up prior, and maybe, you know, if there is one saving grace to that, it's that Randy Orton said, "No, you've done all this stuff. You've got a chance." But like we're talking
even
about,
Randy didn't believe in that. Didn't believe.
But I mean,
the
that was also
was
what
saying.
Like 13, 14 years ago he main evented WrestleMania. So. Pina Colada says the names group's name is Pure Basura. Yeah, it's not good.
It's pure what?
But Basura? I don't know. There you go.
Basura. Come on, Sean.
There it is.
Say it with two. Ba. Ba.
Okay. Ba. Oh, sorry, you're muted, Denise. Look at that. Wow. Pina Colada says
I'm trying
two.
To educate you. I'm trying to culture you up.
Okay, well, week two of Bronson Reed absolutely smashing someone. Keep this train moving. Let's shoot for 8 tsunamis next week. I would love it. That dude is just laying them out.
Moms for Bronson Reed. Let's keep it going, guys.
Get your super chats. Get your humper chats in. We're at the main event. Braun Breaker defeats Sami Zayn. 2-1. This has been an outstanding feud that has played out largely on WWE Raw. Braun Breaker wrestling the type of guy he needs to be wrestling. Sami Zayn, a ring general, someone who, I mean, Braun Breaker doesn't need to be held by the hand. The dude is a natural. And hey, how about this? Looked a whole lot better in that interview that you did with him as well. He's seeming more natural.
No, did you watch that?
Yeah.
Sean, everybody was saying he looked uncomfortable. And I'm like, guys, I swear to God, he's always like this.
He's just always like that. He laughs this time.
You know, that's why I was going to put it like make a little cute short. But I was like, no, I don't want to post the short because then everyone's going to talk shit to me. And I don't really feel
guys,
like to deal
listen,
with that.
Braun Breaker has come up to me and said, oh, great to see you, man. Really excited to do this interview. And then we get on camera and that's just the way that he is. And it's okay. He's a little bit aloof, and that's all right. Because when that red light turns on USA Network,
no, but it works really well. Sean, at least you're a man. Me, people are like, because I was trying to like get him to be comfortable, and people are like, oh, she's flirting with Braun Breaker. I was not flirting with Braun Breaker. I'm just nice, and I was trying to make him feel comfortable and whatever, right? Oh, my God. Anyways, that's what happens when you...
Anyway, this match ruled. Sunset flip, powerbomb, blue thunder. The power slam over the barricade was phenomenal.
That looks these sick two, with the camera angle, too.
Oh, it's so good. These two have really great chemistry. You know, we haven't seen Ilya didn't see Ilya in the ring this week. I'm ready to see Braun move past Sami Zayn and Ilya for now. I'm ready to see that because he had this match tonight. He had, gosh, it's been Ilya and Sammy since June, pretty much. Which is wild to think that we're still doing Hook and Jericho over on AEW, and that's been like since February.
Why you gotta remind me for? Dude, why you gotta like, remind me?
Like, here's the thing. Like, I like the combination of Braun Breaker, Ilya, and Sammy, but I'm ready for him to move on past it. I don't like that combination on AEW. And they've been doing it since February. Woof! Oh, my God. But I want to see him take on somebody different. I want to see a fresh approach. Match was incredible. But is there anybody specifically you want to see next for Braun?
So here's the thing, like his match with Sami Zayn, I feel like I think I even like this match better than the one that they did at SummerSlam. That one was a lot shorter though. This one I thought was really good. And it's funny because in the first fall, I had forgotten that it was 2 out of 3 falls. So I got in the throat. I was like, oh shit, when I saw Sami Zayn get the fall, I was like, damn, for a second there, I thought it was over and I was so confused. But then I was like, oh yeah, it was a 2 out of 3 falls. But they've worked together so many times now that it's just gotten better and better. And I feel like they were doing like new stuff too, like the spear that Bronson, I keep saying Bronson Reed, Jesus Christ, that Bron Breakker got on. Now there's gonna be rumors. And Bronson Reed, what did I say? Moms for Bronson Reed, Denise for Bronson Reed. This is getting ugly. All right, all I want to say here is that Bron Breakker getting that spear on Sami freaking Zayn was pretty cool because he had been coming off the top rope and then the timing of that was pretty spectacular. So I felt like they nailed it. Like they really were trying like different things here and there in this match, especially with that moment off on the barricade. I thought that was cool too. So yeah, this was a fine match, man. This was a good main event. And there was one thing I was going to mention to you too, that if you've noticed that the last couple of weeks, at least 2 weeks for sure now, this week and one more week before that for sure, where we've closed out with Bron Breakker being the last image that you see on Monday Night Raw. And that just tells me that they're really, you know, going to make him that guy. He's going to be that
guy. Going to be a lot of Raws like that. The yes. Roman Reigns, Bron Breakker, spear off is going to feed some families here. Guys, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. If you are in the YouTube comments, leave a comment. Do the roll call. We would love to talk to you guys, see you guys. It helps us out an awful lot. FightfulSelect.com this week, we got even more contract news for you. We are on top of that. There has been no outlet better in the history of wrestling reporting contract news than Fightful Select. Jump on board. Plus, we got that Discord. On All In Day, I am going to scoot over there into that Discord, that AEW All In chat. Drop some spoilers over there, some scoops, all kinds of news. Tony Khan's teasing big announcements. I think one of them is going to make Fightful look pretty doggone good based on some recent reporting. But Denise, tell the people what you got.
All right, two things, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. I'm constantly posting content on there, guys. Go check it out. It would really mean a whole lot to me. And then Instagram. I've been growing my Instagram page. If you guys haven't checked me out there, @_Denise Salcedo. TikTok recently kicked me out of their creators program, so I'm a little salty about that. So if you guys can, show some support on my Instagram content. Because TikTok did me dirty. So, hey. So go to Instagram @_Denise Salcedo.
Support original creators on Twitter as well. Like, listen, I understand I'm the guy that asks you for $5 all the time, but listen, if you ain't offering an original thought or something, just retweet the original tweet from the person who reported it or quote tweet it and share your thoughts or something like that. Because trust me, if TikTok's getting tired of paying people, Elon Musk is going to get very tired of paying people, especially after the frustrating night that he had doing an interview with a presidential candidate and it's still getting out trended on Twitter by a run of the mill WWE Monday Night Raw. Go figure. Tom Brady.
Today?
Yes, exactly.
I was going to say that happened already. Cause I saw the announcement, but I didn't know when it was.
How do you feel about NXT guys in the N1? I'm glad they're doing it. It makes sense for them to get that type of experience that they otherwise wouldn't get. I think it's a very, very good idea. Do you think Julia wrestles at No Mercy? I'll say yes, but I don't have any information indicating that she will. And who will a TNA person face Oba tomorrow? Fightful Select reported Josh Alexander is supposed to come in at some point, but they announced Otis versus Oba. Now, unless they do a thing where Josh Alexander takes him out, I think they'll still do this match after building it up on Raw. But I think eventually Josh Alexander is over there doing that. Guys, thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.